veteran
and his emotional support Canadian
scream into the void about the Mormon Church. If you want to reach us, we are on Instagram at NotSoPeterPriesthood.
And you can email us at NotSoPeterPriesthood@gmail.com.
Thanks for joining us. Enjoy!
Bye!
Quick.
That was hot.
So be a little bubbly. Not bubbly.
The liquid courage to talk about. Courage. I don't even have liquid courage. I just have water. How rude is that?
At least you're staying hydrated. Bitch.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Wait. See if it'll do it today.
Oh. You got fireworks.
You got fireworks. There's what another the hell? One. I learned about this. Oh, wait. There we go.
Dusty's got fireworks and like a light show behind her whenever she does like a certain.
It's like a feature of the new MacBooks, I guess, that they scan what you're doing and they'll like make emoticons. How fucking old am I? Emojis or like things happen. Like they do thumbs up and stuff. I don't know why I said that. I haven't
heard that word in so long.
Right. I think it's because I sent a winking face, like a colon, and my husband was like, "Nice emoticon," and I was like, I don't know, "Whatever." Anyways, what's wrong with me?
Have you seen Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
Mm-hmm. I love Andy Samberg.
Yeah, with the police chief's name. Anyway, he's like reading a text, and he reads the text, and at the end he's like semicolon hyphen close quote close parentheses. Like, he doesn't understand what emoticons are.
I love that. I don't know if I've seen that one. I haven't seen him in a while, but it's actually because of Andy Samberg that I know about doing this and stuff. Because he was on a late night talk show. He was on Late Night with Seth Meyers, and they're doing a podcast all together, like The Lonely Island. Wow. Mm-hmm. And Seth Meyers, and they all did it at the same time, and it was the funniest shit I've ever seen in my entire life, because it was like 11 o'clock at night and I'm old, so. Anyway. So, guess what time of year it's been.
Happy. You know, Dusty, I had a really good day today, and why are we doing this to ourselves? Anyway,
I mean, I was about to start reading a really good book last night, and then I was reminded of what today was, and then I was like, well,
yeah,
never mind. I guess I'll read this shit instead.
Yeah, it's that general conference time of year, and they do it really fast now. Like, it's just up. Like,
when you told me it was already, I was like, no, it's not. That was like 5 minutes ago.
Remember the days when it took them like a month to. And then it would be released on in the enzyme.
Yeah, you had to wait for the enzyme to come to find out what the talk was that you slept through. I mean, I never slept through talks ever. I was always very.
You were such the diligent little Molly Mormon that you took notes, and I totally see that about you.
That's me, all right. Probably up until like a certain point, and then I don't know, hormones happened, and I was like, fuck this shit. Anyways. Well,
we're doing this in a two-parter, right? So Dusty's gonna share her talk, and then I'm gonna share mine in the next episode. So
yes, so strap in, kids, it's a two-parter. So we can get distracted and go off topic on. I mean, no judgment. This is a judgment-free zone.
Sex positive. We're good.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I definitely need some booze after this. Okay. So I've decided to cover the talk by sister Jay Annette. Jeanette. Jeanette. Dennis, the first counselor in the Relief Society General Presidency.
Which I told Dusty she needed to read this in the Relief Society voice or the Primary President voice.
I don't know if I can do it. I haven't had the opportunity to use. I can't. It's like
that was good. I don't. Was it there? Yeah, it was getting there. But we don't need to do that because it as Katie says, it's the icky wickies, so let's just not do that.
I know, sometimes, like, my yoga teacher voice, if I'm trying to be, like during Savasana, I'm like, I kind of slip into that, and I'm like, ugh! I give myself the icky wickies, like, no thank you. No thank you. Anyway.
All right. Let's get into it.
So, you know how they have, like, the little, like, synopsis? Is that what they call it? I don't know.
Synopsis?
I've been doing books all day, so clearly my brain... It just is, like, a little blurb at the beginning of their talk about what the talk's going to be about.
Mm-hmm.
Her synopsis. That's not the word. I'm sorry.
You're right. You said synapses first, which
is... Did I say synapses? Oh.
Yeah.
Well, synapses in my brain are...
Yeah.
Jesus. Hers is, through honoring our covenants, we enable God to pour out the multitude of promised blessings associated with those covenants.
Barf. I already hate it.
I know. I read that and I was like, God damn it.
Hey, you know, I told you to go to a conference. You chose this one.
You know why I chose this one? This is the Garmin's one.
Yeah, I know.
Like, and it's
all over the XMO community and everywhere. So, yeah, it needs to be talked about. So, we're good.
And I went searching. Remember how, like, the Mormon hippie was trying to, like, get changes made? I went searching for her, and, dude, she's out.
Yeah.
She's not the Mormon hippie anymore. I was like, what? What? Shocking revelation to me. Amazing. All right. As my two youngest children were growing, I discovered books that were entertaining and engaging, but also used symbolism in their stories. I just... Already, I'm like, you discovered books? Like, did you not read books as a child? Did your mother not read books? Did you not have school teachers? Immediately, I was like, shut the fuck up. I don't know what's wrong with me. Anyway. As we read together in the evenings, I loved helping my children understand the symbolism the author was using to teach deeper principles, even gospel principles. It's not that. I can't.
Yeah, I'm surprised she's talking about books because, you know, books are such a hot topic these days.
They really are. They really. I think she's talking about, like, Book of Mormon stories for children, I'm sure. I don't know. I don't know if she, like, read The Little Red Hen to her children because, like, The Little Red Hen was a single mom and that's, like, you know.
Oh, that's not, yeah.
There was no little red rooster coming home to...
to what? Roost?
Roost, yeah. I don't know. Eat the bread that the little red hen made with her chicks and the little red hen in school, so it's on my brain, sorry. Wow. He's telling me all about it. And then
that was
she
actually
made
one of my favorite stories as a kid, actually.
I always say I'm the little red hen and, like, nobody understood it until now. All of a sudden he's like, oh, I get it, Mom. I'm like, yeah, that's right. I'm the little red hen. All right. I knew this was sinking in one day when my younger son was in his early teens. He had started a new book and just wanted to enjoy the story, but his mind kept trying to find the deeper meaning in everything he was reading. He was frustrated, but I was smiling inside. Shut up, it did not happen.
Bullshit, yeah. I call bullshit on that. What teenager is looking for deeper meaning in the... What?
Seriously. And he's, like, frustrated that he just wants to, like, turn his brain off and read it. And I'm like, that didn't happen. No. I'm a 38-year-old woman, and I don't find my brain trying to find the meaning in books. Like, I just enjoy the story.
Yeah. Yeah.
But whatever. You know, they're so much better than the rest of us, so...
Mm-hmm.
All right. Jesus taught through stories and symbols. A mustard seed to teach the power of faith. A lost sheep to teach the worth of souls. A prodigal son to teach the character of God. His parables were symbols through which he could teach deeper lessons to those who had ears to hear. But those not seeking the deeper meaning would not understand, just as many who read those same books I read to my children never knew there was a deeper meaning and so much more to get out of those stories. Fuck off. Did we sound like this when we spoke, when we were in? Like, we were just so much better than everybody else and so much smarter than everybody else?
Yeah, you have the... Your insight is better than anybody else's. You have the... Because it's that whole... Like, the Holy Ghost spoke to me personally and told me about this. So, yeah. I'm special. And if y'all didn't catch the memo... Y'all are not special.
Yeah. You didn't understand the deeper meaning of the symbolism in the boxcar children. So clearly.
The boxcar symbolizes our...
The boxcar is God's love because it protected the children from the weather. The creek that kept their milk cool in the summer is a blessing from God. Sorry, I don't know what's wrong with me tonight.
And then the little birds that chirped with the Holy Ghost. Speaking sweetly to their, warning them of danger when the, whatever, when the bear was walking across. I don't know what happens in the Boxcar Children, but I remember reading them, but I don't.
They were like cute little stories, and then they became detectives eventually, didn't they? They like solved mysteries eventually.
So like the Hardy Boys, Nancy Drew, but like...
It's been like 30 years since I read
them. Children that live in the boxcar.
And didn't like their grandfather have the boxcar moved to their yard at their new mansion that they... I don't even know. Anyway.
Oh. That's a whole Boxcar Children lore that I don't know.
Oh, wow. Might be a whole new podcast that we just started. Deep dives into the Boxcar Children with Cheek and Dusty. Like, I have a lot less rage in my life, but you know. This is why we don't record at night. I'm loopy. All right. So, when God the Father offered his only begotten Son as a sacrifice for us, Jesus Christ himself became the highest symbol of our Father in heaven's undying love for each of us, not the boxcar. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ became the Lamb of God. Okay, so. Oh my God. We have the privilege and blessing of being invited into a covenant relationship with God in which our own lives can become a symbol of that covenant. Covenants create the kind of relationship that allows God to mold and change us over time and lift us to become more like the Savior, drawing us closer and closer to Him and our Father and eventually preparing us to enter their presence.
Oh.
I hate it so much. Okay. I know. So then she talks about, she's gonna talk about how President Russell M. Nelson, because we have to kiss his ass because he's sitting right there, right? So he taught that.
Say, let's suck his dick for a little bit. And then
Let's quote the man in the room. Rusty taught that when we choose to make covenants with God, our relationship with him becomes much closer than it was before our covenant, and it enables him to bless us with extra measure of his mercy and love. A covenantal love referred to as hesed in the Hebrew language. Okay, I have a problem.
Did you say his seed or hesed? What's hesed?
H-E-S-E-D. Hesed. I don't know if I'm saying it properly. I'm probably not. I learned some words in Hebrew a gazillion years ago, but this was not one of them.
That's probably right. I just was like, his seed? What?
So the covenant path is all about our relationship with God, our Hasid relationship with him. So I find it irritating when people use words of languages that are not. I don't know.
Yeah, no,
Mind you, I have Sanskrit tattooed on me, so I'm a fucking hypocrite. But anyways, I just find it, when they do this, it's like, it's this callback to like, oh, remember, because we come from the Hebrews that went across the ocean. Like, it seems very, I don't know what it is.
Well, so the Mormons are very much like, oh, we're basically Jewish. Like, there's like this like thing that they have, like this relationship with the Jewish people, because they, because of Joseph Smith's The Book of Mormon, all that stuff.
Right.
And yeah, I get that. Like, there's a very weird, like, I don't even know how you can explain. Like,
yeah, you know what I'm saying, though, right? Like,
yeah.
I feel like you get exactly, and there's no way to explain it. They take like, ownership over a word. They take ownership over a word that actually isn't theirs to take ownership over. Like, I have a Sanskrit word on my body tattooed, but it's in English because I speak English. Like, I didn't take the Sanskrit language because I felt that was a little bit like.
It's like those tattoos that like the basic white bitch has, like of a Japanese like letter.
Oh yeah, and if it says thickness. Soup or something.
Yeah, it's a soup. And then there's also this on the other side. When I went to Japan, like there was like. You would see English and it would be like this weird, like you're just like, that doesn't make any sense. Those words together don't make sense. And that's probably how they feel about what they see us.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
But it's also that like colonization.
Yeah.
Ideal, you know,
yeah.
That the Mormons have of like this, we can claim that part of other culture because we're like, we're basically samesies. We're like sisters, you know, like it's just like, I don't know. I guess you can't like say sisters because it'd be brothers because it's patriarchy, but like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, totally. Like I didn't want to, like a cultural appropriation I feel is like a very, it's a very delicate balance of taking things for ourselves and not embracing.
On the Japan thing, there was this whole marketing thing that they did in Japan where they thought, because they thought fuck was like just this word of like excitement. And so it was like fuck everything off 50% or something like that is what it said on like all these banners in the store that said fuck everything, fuck everything.
Oh my God, that's amazing. I've seen people like take videos of like little kids wearing like
milk
like
and like
clothing that says like really inappropriate shit on it, and it makes me laugh every time because they probably look at us like we're a bunch of morons too because we are, but you know. it says strength. No, it says soup. But anyways. So yeah, it's like that's the word I think I was trying to think was cultural appropriation of like taking this Hebrew word, which actually does mean something in the Hebrew language and it would mean something to that culture, and then saying like, this is actually our thing because like we're the one true church. I don't know. It just felt an icky sort of way. And again, I do have a Sanskrit word on me, so I am a giant hypocrite. But anyways.
Well, also I feel like there's this sense of like this like I'm better than you. This goes into that. Like, I'm better than you. I know what this word means. And I'm throwing this word in there just to, like, make it sound like, oh, I'm extra religious because I'm going to bring in the Hebrew, which is, like, the root of where Jesus, you know. Like, what he would have said, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I
just wanted a tattoo that reminded me to, like, not be an asshole.
That's not working, Dusty. You need to look at that tattoo a little bit.
Because my watch is usually covering it. I'm so sorry. Damn it. Bad placement. All right. So anyway, sorry. That was like a long tangent dosed over one word. But Our Father wants a deeper relationship with all his sons and daughters. But it is our choice. As we choose to draw nearer to him through a covenant relationship, it allows him to draw nearer to us and more fully bless us.
Every time I hear covenant relationship, my eyes just do, it automatically just roll. Just I can't.
I know. I just read The Celestial Wife and I'm like, still raging. But anyways. This is something I've highlighted in Rage Red. So, God sets the conditions and obligations of the covenants we make. When we choose to enter into that relationship, we witness to him through the symbolic actions of each covenant that we are willing to abide by conditions he has set. Okay. The conditions and obligations, you are not made aware of what those are until it is too late. There's no consent when you are making this promise, this legally binding contract. It pisses me off so much that I just want to, like, throw my laptop across the room.
Yeah, how can you promise to something that you don't even know what you're getting into? Like,
yeah,
that is abusive. Like, it's, it is. Like...
Sorry, there's, like, lint on my computer. Sorry. Yeah, it's completely... I just want to scream. Like I said, it's highlighted in Rage Red right now. And then it says, through honoring our covenants, we enable God to pour out the multitude of promised blessings associated with those covenants, including increased power to change and become more like our Savior. Jesus Christ is at the center of all covenants we make, and covenant blessings are made possible because of his atoning sacrifice. Then why the fuck don't we ever talk about it during sacrament meeting?
Yeah. Oh, because, like, it's too secret to talk about.
It's just too secret, you guys. So he's the center of it, but we can't talk about it. All these conditions are placed upon us, but you can't know. It's a big, giant secret until it's too late. So if you are unable to hold up to those covenants, too fucking bad, you already promised. Like, it's such a...
That makes me think of the whole thing with Satan when he's like, if they do not live up to their covenants that they make in this temple, in this day, they will, what does he say? They will be under my power or something?
Yeah, like under my power. And he gets, like, really close to the camera.
And he gets all queeny, too. He's like, and then the cape flip.
The cape. I'm going to start wearing a cape so I can flip it dramatically as I walk away.
I'm sad. I'm low-key sad that they don't do that anymore. I don't know. Like, they don't have that video anymore, apparently.
Oh, yeah. I think it's changed now, hasn't it? Still is a video, but it's like...
It's like...
have been little, edited or something.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. Why don't you go take the discussions and get back in so you can let us know?
You know, I was visited by the sister missionaries. I could be like, hey, by the way, how fast can I get into that temple?
Real quick here. Let me just...
All for the podcast. It's just for the content.
All for content. Oh my god. Could you imagine? Oh, I would kill you. Anyways. Like, what are you doing?
Oh, speaking of the listeners, sorry about not sorry. The you know, the April Fool's joke. I was just like, eh.
Oh my god. I didn't even know what day it was, but I was like, what the fuck is he smoking today? And then I was like, oh, it's April Fool. You're funny.
You called me a dick. It's fine.
I did. I was like, what the
fuck? She was like, you dick. I'm not taking over the podcast. What?
Me edit. Could you imagine? it would be raw. There'd be a lot of dead space. It would be one and done episode.
As I was getting on, I had to restart my computer and everything to get on tonight. And I was like, well, what am I hurrying for? It's not like she's gonna start without me and just be talking into the ether, you know? Like.
Like, hey, friend, just waiting for Nick to finish eating his dinner. He's running a little behind. Oh, God. Oh, too funny. All right. I have another Red Rage highlight coming up, so. Baptism by immersion is the symbolic gate through which we enter into a covenant relationship with God. Being immersed in the water and coming up again is symbolic of the Savior's death and resurrection to new life. As we are baptized, we symbolically die and are born again into the family of Christ, and so we are willing to take his name upon us. The friggin' obsession with, like, death and the next life and dying and, like...
It's basically a death cult, if
you think about it. It's a death cult. It 100% is, because this life doesn't matter. It's we're only worried about the next life. It doesn't matter. Oh, he was killed in a car accident at 9 years old while he was only a year away from baptism, so that's good, because he'll get in this... Like, the bullshit of it all. I'm like...
Also, it makes me think, this is a whole other conversation I was kind of having, another online anyway, but the, how so people on my mission, I would run into people like a lot of evangelical types on my mission in the South. So, they believe, like, a lot of people would tell me like, oh, you guys believe in works and not just faith. And I'm like,
yep.
And as a missionary, I was like, oh, no, that's not what we believe. But it's totally what we believe. But yeah,
faith without works is dead. Isn't that what the scripture is? Yeah.
Yeah. But a lot of these churches actually don't teach that baptism is like actually it's an like not a necessary thing to do. It's a nice thing to do. It's like a if you feel like that's something you want to do to show like an outward like commitment to God, but it's not like all you have to do is accept Jesus into your heart and you're saved. And that's I remember having a hard time with that as a missionary, but now I'm just like that literally is all he says to do. Like, yeah, he did a baptism for himself, but it was more just like I don't know, like, it gets a little murky, but I'm just like I don't know. And then I do think that the Mormon version of like grace is different than what real Christians believe. And I said Christians because Mormons aren't really Christians. But
no, it's a death cult for sure. A polygamous death cult. totally fine, by the way. yeah. So I just with our baptism, we symbolically put on Christ. What the fuck does that even mean? We put on Christ, but don't wear a cross. But now they're starting to... whatever.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Crosses are okay now.
Yeah, what is that?
So weird. So weird. And then they're, like, gaslighting everybody by saying, like, oh, yeah, that's been fine forever. It's like, no, it hasn't.
No. No, I remember a friend giving me a crucifix and it being like a big deal that I was not allowed to wear it because it was inappropriate. Oh, sorry. Flames won. Yes. Sorry. They're not even close to getting into the playoffs. It's fine. You can't hurt me. I'm a Flames fan.
In other news.
All right, so then she talks about the bread and the water are symbolic of Christ's flesh and blood for us. The gift of his atonement is symbolically offered to us each week when a priesthood holder representing the Savior himself offers the bread and water. So this is something else that always, like, I couldn't square in my head. So we have the atonement, so we take the sacrament on Sunday, but that represented his suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane. It had nothing to do with him dying on the cross, according to Mormons. But Christians, it was the act of him being crucified that symbolized him dying for our sins. And so I could never, like, make that make sense in my brain. I still can't. I could never make it make sense in my brain that the Garden of Gethsemane was so much more important to Mormons, and that's why we don't wear the cross, is because the crucifixion was just kind of this thing that happened after he'd already...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he had to be crucified because that was, like, the next step in the... I don't know. I just always...
Well, I think... what was it? He experienced spiritual death in the Garden of Gethsemane because he had a separation from God.
Right.
And then, like, he was praying to God, but then he experienced, like, separation from God. And
that's
then,
where he experienced, like, what it would feel like to have a miscarriage, because he experienced all the pain that we all go through, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't.
There
I
is,
can't.
there has been, like, conversation on that note that, like, he might have been, like, non-binary. That, like, if he were to be the son of God, he would have to at least, like, have, like, a, he would not be, like, in the binary. Like, he would not.
Yeah, he would have to not be man or woman. He would have to be able to embody both and all, would he not?
Yeah.
Which comes to my point of there was a vote as to whether or not he was divine that happened in the Vatican. So, I don't know.
But the Gethsemane was, like, the spiritual death, and then the cross was the physical death. And that's why they... But that's just from Mormonism's point of view.
That's just Mormonism.
The Christians and, like, Catholics focus mostly on the cross, because that's where he ultimately died. And so, and
yeah, for us, right?
Yeah, and the Garden of Gethsemane is, like, just kind of like a little tiny little piece of it. They don't really,
right?
Like, but I feel like Christians, like, focus on the whole big picture of it, like his actual, like,
right,
yes,
right.
He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, and then he was betrayed, and then he went through all these things, and then he was ultimately, you know, killed,
right,
and died for our sins, and that's exactly when he died. So that's why they, but I don't know, I was, the whole cross thing still was weird to me, like, to be. Like, why would you, even as a believing Christian, I would be like, it's kind of weird to, like, mm-hmm. just, like, hold a, like, have a cross to, like, symbolize, like, I get the symbol of it, symbolism of it, but I don't know.
Yeah.
If you really think about it, it's not that, it's kind of morbid.
it is, yeah. Like, I have a pretty reckless t-shirt that has the upside down cross on it, and if you want to make some old ladies clutch their pearls, wear that out. I never think of it, and then I'm like, oh, this is probably really offensive to people, sorry. I wasn't doing it to be an asshole, it's just a banter.
Well, all you tell them is that, was it Peter? One of the apostles was, like, asked
crucified
to be
upside down.
Crucified upside down, because he didn't want to be crucified the same way that Jesus was, because he didn't feel worthy.
Right.
So you could be like, oh, it's just that.
Don't mind my, it's fine. Everything's fine. All right. Sorry. I keep, like, losing my voice. I'm sorry. Yeah. So we talk about that. All right, here we go. As we make covenants with God in the house of the Lord, we further deepen our relationship with him. That sounds dirty. Sorry.
Further deeper?
We further deepen our relationship.
Further deeper. You know, like, it's... Who would say, could you imagine saying further while having sex? Like, ooh, further. Yes, further. You know, like...
No. You've ruined it for me now.
You're welcome.
Gross.
Further deepen
our relationship with him, capital H-I-M.
Further deepen baby. Daddy.
Oh my god, it's getting worse.
I'll stop. Okay.
All right, now it's all dirty. Everything we do in the temple points to our Father's plan for us, at the heart of which is the Savior and his atoning sacrifice. The Lord will teach us line upon line through the symbolism of the ordinances and covenants as we open our hearts and prayerfully seek to understand the deeper meanings. Okay, now I'm going to start. Right, now it's just all red. It's all red.
Yay.
As part of the temple endowment, we are authorized to wear the garment of the holy priesthood. It is both a sacred obligation and a sacred privilege. So it's an obligation and it's a privilege that not everybody gets. Okay. Okay. Weren't we just talking about how, like, people weren't wearing their garments and I was, like, here for it? Well, Jay Annette is here to shut that shit down. In many religious traditions, special outer clothing is worn as a symbol of a person's beliefs and a commitment to God, and ceremonial clothing is often worn by those leading worship services. Those sacred vestments carry deep meaning for those who wear them. We read in scripture that in ancient times, sacred ceremonial clothing was also worn in conjunction with temple rituals. Okay. I've never heard a priest say, "My collar will stop me from dying," because it's holy and magical, but whatever.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Right? I mean, I know Jewish people that wear like the prayer shawls under their clothes, they see the knots like hanging out. I've never heard a Jewish man be like, "Oh, I can get hit by a car and survive because my prayer shawl is going to it's magic and it will save me."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I've heard, like, oh, the reason he didn't, like, burn up in the house is because he was wearing his garments. And I'm like...
Or it's like, oh, he was sunburned. Or it's like, he was burned everywhere except for his garments. Or like, something, you know? It's like...
He's always wearing blue jeans, so I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Polyester, it can't be that fire retardant. Anyways, it's so rageful. As members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, those of us who have chosen to make covenants with God in the house of the Lord wear sacred, ceremonial outer clothing during temple worship, symbolic of the clothing worn in ancient temple rituals. Masons! Oh, sorry. Oh, excuse me. That was really weird.
Oh, and why was this not presented anywhere, like, in the... First of all, it's not in the Bible at all.
No.
Second of all, why is it like, why would did Joseph Smith not get it until like way far? Like, were they in like Nauvoo?
It was in the Masons? Yeah, I don't know. That's weird. That's super weird. I don't understand. I don't understand why my neighbor, who is a Mason, and I made a joke about a green apron, gave me a dirty look because I was like, oh, yeah, I know. We ripped you off. I'm sorry. He was like,
It's a holy green apron, Dusty.
It's a holy green apron. I'm so sorry. So sorry. It's a Bordeaux boy hat. So sacred.
And then your layer upon layer of, like, veil and, like, all that stuff that you have to bind yourself down as a woman.
Just thinking about it makes me sweat. Just thinking about it. So much sweat. Oh, my God. And, like, stress sweat, so it stinks. My temple dress.
Oh.
I know. I was like, I gave it back to my mom and I was like, it stinks and I don't know what to do about it. I'm sorry. Like, I just can't. There's no detergent strong enough for the shame and the humiliation. It won't even work. I'm sorry.
Oh.
Anyways.
Ye, the power of Christ compels you. You need to have that. You know, the holy water.
Burst into flames. All right. We also wear the garment of the holy priesthood both during temple worship and in our everyday lives. The garment of the holy priesthood is deeply symbolic and also points to the Savior. But we can't talk about it. We can't talk about the symbolism because you can't. You only learn about it. And I never put it together, like, the symbols, matching the symbols in the temple. Like, somebody had to explain that to me, and I was like, what?
Like, was that took me a while to figure it out, too. I was like, wait.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh.
Like, the slits in the, I was like.
Or the shape of their ones on your.
On the nipples. On the nipples.
So there's the, what is the, there's like the L-shaped one that's like a, I can't remember, it's like
the. One of them's named the compass.
It's like your right hand, that's
it. Yeah.
And your compass is to like point you in the right direction of God, and then the neat one on your knee.
Yeah.
To the every knee shall bow.
Kind of thing. Right. Yeah. And then like there's one on your belly button's like the health and the navel. Is that the right one? Yeah. Yeah.
I forgot about that one, yeah.
Oh, well. I only knew because I was pregnant with it, and it was, like, very obvious because, obviously, stretched to the max.
Oh, yeah. How are the maternity ones?
I just bought bigger ones because they didn't have maternity when I was
Really? Oh, back. Well, don't they have them now?
I have no idea. I don't want them.
And... They probably just. They're like, oh fuck y'all. You just wear. You just gonna wear it how it is.
I stopped wearing garments in 2007, I think. Mm. Yeah. So maybe 2000. Yeah. Somewhere in there, between 2006 2007.
Interesting. I was. Trying to think, because I officially stopped when I was in the Navy, but like I was like kind of doing, I would do that like thing where I would wear like a white undershirt just to make it look like I was wearing garments, but I really wasn't. I know.
You titter.
I know, that's a naughty boy.
Naughty. Yeah, when I was pregnant with, I just wore bigger ones. It was fun. It was super fun. It's really comfortable. No cup sizes either. That was really fun. Anyways. Mm. So, when Adam and Eve partook of the fruit and had to leave the Garden of Eden, they were given coats of skins as a covering for them. That's why I have to wear those stupid things. It is likely that an animal was sacrificed to make those coats of skins, symbolic of the Savior's own sacrifice. Sacrifice for us. Kaphar, K-A-P-H-A-R, is the basic Hebrew word for atonement, and one of its meanings is to cover. Again, with this, like, cultural appropriation of using words, it's fine. Our temple garment reminds us that the Savior and the blessings of his atonement cover us throughout our lives. As we put on the garment of the Holy Priesthood each day, that beautiful symbol becomes a part of us. Very much a part of you if you suffer from chronic yeast infections.
Yeah. So, I question for so it's always not always, I guess it's just come to my mind sometimes where I'm just like, what do women do when they have a period? I just like when they're menstruating, like you have basically boxers on, or like they're just like, but what do you do? Like, do you wear
I struggled in this department a lot because I was always told if you like soiled your garment, you needed to get rid of it and buy new ones. So it was a whole situation. Like, and this was like pre-menstrual cup situation. So your options were like Tampax and pads, right? God, I'm old. Oh my God. Anyways, so it was like a tampon with like a pad backup, and if you got like the wings, it would usually like stick to your leg because there was no way to like wrap the wings around anything, because it's just shorts, so then you were like ripping it off the
side.
They're
not designed for them to freak.
They're designed for panties, like so it was a whole thing. It was absolutely the worst. It was the worst. It was the worst thing of my life. And I was so uncomfortable, and you can't afford to buy like a bunch of pairs. And so you're constantly like rewashing them because it's a health issue. Like, I can't believe that I lived my life that way for a while.
Well, and then I think of like all these women that are living that way. I'm just like, it's like devastating. If you really think like that, they just like have it in their minds that it's okay that I'm suffering and that I'm going through all this because, it's probably like I'm the one that's the problem. They would put it on themselves over like, no, this system, this shit that you're, this covenant, quote unquote, that you're being asked to do is a way to control you. So, the more I learn about that, that just, it frustrates me. And I, and I understand, like, as a Peter Priesthood type, when I was Mormon, it was like, that never even crossed my mind because they don't even, God forbid we talk about women's issues in church, not church, but like at all. But like, did they talk that at all in church, like about like in religious society, like, or like young women's, of like, hey, by the way, There was never any conversation about.
No. And that. In fact, I remember one time I needed to leave and I grabbed like a tampon out of like my purse or whatever. And it was a big deal of like, you can't use tampons. That will take away your virginity. And I was like, the fuck are you talking about? Like, what? Like, it's a menstrual product. Yeah. Like, I knew LDS women who were against using tampons because that was like inserting something into your body. And that's like, it's a sin. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like,
wow.
Yeah, I've had conversations with some friends that are they're all different faiths or whatever. And like one friend was like, wait, you use a menstrual cup? Tell me everything. And the other friend was like, I can't listen to this. Like, this is so disturbing. And I was like, it's your own body.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know how that all works down there, right? Like, you've had babies. You understand the mechanics and the shape and everything. The cup goes in. Like, and she just like could not wrap her head around. She was like, but then you have to like get it out. And I was like, yeah. She's like, well, what if it gets stuck? And I'm like, you push it out the same way you push a baby out. Like, is this not? Are you not understand? I wanted to shake her and be like, figure out your own body, please. But anyway. Well,
it's so sad because like the more I've learned, I'm trying. The more I learn about like women's like rights and their issues and like the things that systemically, it's just women just aren't even thought of. And it's disgusting to me. Like healthcare, travel, like what else was there? You can tell I just read a book, but
seatbelts.
Anyway.
We had the seatbelts conversation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know. Like, the garments are not designed for women. Like, I don't know how it is again. This is my experience when I left the church in like the early 2000s. There was no cup size for a garment. So if you were a large chested woman but had a petite frame, you either had to have them very tight on your chest and fit your body, or you had to fit your chest and then have like yards of fabric.
So you just basically figure out what the what kind of uncomfortable you're comfortable with.
Exactly.
And also, you can't alter them. No. So it's just, it is what it is.
Yeah. Like, I remember having to, I would put my garment on and then I would kind of like hunch forward to put my bra so that I would have enough so that it didn't like pull down into my bra and like give me too much of a V-neck. So it was, oh my God, the mechanics of just getting fucking dressed in the morning with garments just blow my mind. Just to get dressed in the morning and not even, you know, and that's not even thinking about like the modesty factor or whether or not you're showing anything or if my shirt lifts on the side and is anybody going to see, like, it just is such a controlling factor of every aspect of your life.
See, and one of the things that's kind of bothered me, even as a Mormon, I was like, the men would have this like the deeper, like the what do they call it?
Smiley face. My grandpa wore the smiley face ones. Yeah.
And it's usually like the boomers that wear them.
Yeah.
I had a couple pair, but I was like, oh, this is so uncomfortable. And so I would just, but then they went to like the crew neck style. Why is it okay for men to have a crew neck that they can show the little peak of the top, but women, if you show even a little bit of your garment at all, it says,
There was like a little bit of like a scalloped pattern along. And if that like showed on like your dress or whatever, like it was a big, like you cannot show your dress needed to cover that, then why is there a friggin' like lace scallop at the end of it? What is the point of it then? Take it off, it's itchy anyways. I could go on about this for days, obviously, because I'm enraged. So enraged. Anyways. So then she says in the Book of Romans that they put on the armor of light, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, blah, blah, blah. So again, calling the garments like armor. All right, here we go. I am so grateful for the privilege of wearing the garment of the holy priesthood to remind me that the Savior and of the, that the Savior and the blessings of his infinite atonement constantly cover me throughout my mortal journey. It is also reminds me that as I keep the covenants I have made with God in the house of the Lord, I have symbolically put on Christ, who himself is an armor of light. He will protect me from evil, give me power and increased capacity, and be my light and guide through the darkness and difficult times of this world. Okay. There is a deep and beautiful symbolic meaning in the garment of the holy priesthood and its relationship to Christ. I believe that my willingness to wear the holy garment becomes my symbol to him. It is my own personal sign to God, not a sign to others. Can you throw some shade just a little bit more on women who choose to not wear it every day of the, just a little bit more shade. That would be great. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm so grateful for my Savior, Jesus Christ, his atoning sacrifice for us to become the greatest symbol of his and our Father in heaven's infinite love for us. With the tangible symbols of that love and sacrifice, the marks in the Savior's hands and feet and side, remaining even after his resurrection. As I keep my covenants and obligations with God, including wearing the garment of the holy priesthood, my very life can become a personal symbol of my love and deep gratitude for my Savior, Jesus Christ, and my desire to have him with me always. The fucking audacity of, like, I know so many women who really suffer with, like, health issues due to wearing garments. I would get, like, chronic cysts in my armpits because just the constant rubbing. I had friends that had chronic yeast infections. And just this whole holier-than-thou, like, I choose to wear it every day. Like, why not just come out and say it and be like, fucking wear your garments? Like, why this? I don't understand why they do this. I really don't.
Oh, it's been like, they're like harping on this so hard ever since this talk now.
I bet.
And they actually updated the temple recommend questions.
Really?
Know that?
No, I didn't. Tell me everything.
So, let's see. So this is from the newsroom.
The newsroom.
It says the interview questions are made public so members of all ages can better understand the requirements for temple worship and prepare to enter the temple. I don't remember them being public when we were, you and I were going through. But
no, I don't either. That's
the thing.
I know. I remember asking my parents and they were like, oh yeah, we can tell you. But I don't think it was like common knowledge.
So, verbiage in 11 questions has been modified. So, and the one that has to do with this is the, let's see. Sorry. Oh, what's happening? Oh, weirdness is happening, but it's fine. I will just continue. Do you keep the, it's question 13, and it says, do you keep the covenants that you made in the temple, including wearing the temple garment as instructed in the endowment? So it used to say, it didn't used to have that including part, including wearing the temple garment instructed in the endowment. It just said, do you keep the covenants that you made in the temple? And now they've included the garments part in there.
Including wearing the garments as instructed.
Yep. So.
Of course.
Yeah. So they've added that to it so that they can, because they've, I think they've been hearing, like, oh, members are wearing it, aren't wearing it when they're exercising. They aren't wearing it when they, I don't know, when they have sex. I don't know.
Why. I was always told you didn't have to wear it while you were showering, while you're having sex, or doing sports. The three S's.
Wow. Yeah.
So, I don't know.
But I do think that there were some people that were just like not only wearing it to the temple.
Oh, like that kind of thing.
Yeah. Or to church. But every day. Huh. But it makes sense because, like, even around here in Mormonville where I live, like, I'll see like people and I'm just like, I know you're Mormon and there's no way you can be wearing that and wearing garments. You know, I'm just like, and it's the Mormon brain in me that's like, oh, you know, and I see that and I hate that I see it. And I'm just like, I am getting better about that, but I just was like, what the fuck? Like, and it's part of it's like that whole thing was like of like, oh, they can go to, they can get tattoos now. Oh, they can get, they can go to Starbucks and not have a big old horrendous deal about it anymore, you know? So
yeah.
Part of it's like a little bit of like,
That's how I am about it too. I was like, I suffered and I, and now you get to wear a cute thong.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cute.
Cute. Cute. Anyway, oh. Okay. Okay. So, yeah, she just keeps talking about how we've spoken repeatedly. Rusty has taught about keeping our covenants, especially increasing power, blah, blah, blah. Okay, the general handbook states that it is not required to have a mission call or be engaged to be married to make temple covenants. So suddenly they're pushing this. A person must be at least 18 years old, no longer be attending high school or the equivalent, and be a member of the church for at least 1 year. There are also standards of personal holiness required if you have the desire to deepen your relationship with your Father in heaven and Jesus Christ by making sacred covenants in the Lord, house of the Lord. I invite you to speak with your bishop or branch president and let him know of your desires. He will help you to know how to prepare to receive and honor those covenants. So when we were in, if you were a woman who wasn't going on a mission and weren't engaged, there was, it was like, no, no. Don't, you can't go through the temple. You can't go through the temple.
It's like pulling teeth to get them.
Yeah.
It would, yeah. It used to be that way.
Hmm? Yeah. I have a friend. She's still, she's not married. She's a couple years older than me. And she tried for years to get her endowments. And they kept saying like, no, it's not your time. You need to just blah, blah, blah. Like they just refused her. Where now all of a sudden it's like, well, if you're out of high school, yeah. Let's go. Let's take you to the temple. Let's get those garments on you, baby. Let's get those yeast infections rolling.
Yeah. Well, it's very, how do I, what is the word? It just points to the fact that they are so desperate to keep people in that they're, oh, let's just, let's get them in while they're young.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. They are bleeding young
members. Well, it's exactly like, so, you know, the whole mentality of like, oh, let's not, the reason they lowered the ages for men to,
to serve missions,
is to like get them right out of high school.
Yeah. And go right don't go have a year of free thinking. Uh-huh. Like,
don't go a year of college and have them your God thoughts no. with, God you no. know.
Yeah.
And then women, like, they have to wait for...
Don't go live on your own and realize that, like, you can take care of yourself and you have, like, worth just being a person. You don't need a husband. God, no. That's terrifying.
You to rely on us. You're 19 years old. You're an old maid already. Let's just get you out there. Like, ugh.
Yeah, it's disgusting. Anyways, that's pretty much the end of her talk. She brings up the... Hesed, I just can't anymore. So, yeah. So that's my rage about that.
Well, it's just interesting to me that they're pushing the garment stuff so hard when we've got genocide happening in Israel, like not in Israel, but like in Gaza.
And yeah. Like they care about people's underwear more than people are dying, Kim. Like, can we just not give a shit about what Sister Susie's wearing on her gooch? Bit. Like,
yeah.
Seriously. Oh my God. I can't with it. It makes me enraged. The world is on fire. Our climate is shifting dramatically. People can't eat. People are dying. But let's worry about what you're wearing under your clothing. I cannot. Anyways.
Yeah, exactly. I cannot either. And they, I have no other words than just like, what the fuck? Like, why is this an issue? Like, why, there are so many other things to focus on. You have all this money, all these resources that you could be using to help people. And this is what you choose to focus on.
Yeah,
This is
wear
the
your
thing. This
fucking
is.
ugly underwear.
Yeah, and continue. And also, this coming on the heels of that Instagram post by Jan,
J. Annette. J. Annette.
where she said, what was it that she said? Something about this
No
organization.
other organization gives women the power that
Yeah.
Jan.
And I'm sure she had this talk prepared way before, you know, kind of,
Oh
anyway,
yeah, it was
but
probably
there,
proof months ago or at least
but
weeks ago. Yeah.
the it's just interesting that it coincides with that whole thing happening, and then right on the heels of that, she's talking about something that women have been like saying, can you please just fucking change the garments so that
Yeah.
we are like.
Create a gusset. Underwear that you buy at Walmart for $2 has a gusset in it for health reasons. It's just a little patch. It's just a little patch in your underwear just for cotton breathability. That's it. Just add something to the garments that makes them healthier. You don't have to change them. You don't have to make a big, just put
Yeah.
a cotton gusset in there and you're good.
And they've altered them. I saw something, but I where it's online where it says they've altered them throughout the years. 'Cause they used to be from like they
Due
used
to
to be
the ankles.
onesies.
Yeah.
Yeah, they
Yeah,
used
my
to
mom
like
had onesie ones, I
they could
remember.
fucking alter them as much as they want, as long as it's approved by the prophet, whatever. And all Rusty needs to do is 99-year-old crusty ass needs to do is say, hey, maybe let's put cotton in there so their vaginas aren't
Yeah, so they can
suffering.
breathe,
Yeah.
Just a thought. Just a thought.
I hate to think of Rusty saying vagina, but you know, it's fine. I
I'm
just
sure he doesn't even know the word, to be honest.
no. Yeah, he's like,
This
oh
is us ladies' business, because bleeding
well.
is gore and disgustingness, right? Isn't that what she was told? Can't talk about blood and gore.
Ugh.
Oh my God.
Well, thank you for that. That was
Hey, yeah.
so much fun.
I know, right? Are you gonna out?
Why do we just do this to ourselves?
I don't know. I question twice a year. I question our friendship.
At least it's just twice a year. It's
Twice a
like
year.
every day. It's fine.
I'll be
I'll
able to
take
find
it.
you. Tomorrow you'll send me a Marco, and I'll be like, oh, good.
Oh, yeah, we're fine.
Forget. Forget.
What happened yesterday? I don't know.